It's Paul Smolin, M.D., your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Welcome. Doc Smo here from Studio 1E in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for joining me today. I developed PEDcast to help parents navigate a myriad of parenting topics ranging from infancy to graduation. In these PEDcasts, I express general observations and opinions that I have developed over a generation of pediatric practice and parenting. I am not providing medical judgments or advice. Let's talk kids with today's topic. Welcome to another episode of DocSmo.com. By day, I am a general pediatrician in Charlotte, North Carolina. By night, I am a podcaster, or more specifically, a PEDcaster. Now, I want to thank my seasoned listeners for sticking with me and joining me again today, and I want to welcome all you new listeners. Well, today we're going to discuss allergy in children. Now, I was reading the Wall Street Journal the other morning, having a little cup of coffee with the missus, and I came across this article in the Wall Street Journal that referenced an article that had just come out in the New England Journal of Medicine. That's a very prestigious medical journal. And things don't get published in the New England Journal of Medicine unless there's a lot of good science behind them. So this is reputable information. Anyway, the article from the New England Journal was talking about how children who grew up on farms around animals, dirt, wastes, you know, really sort of dirty place farms, they have a much lower incidence of both asthma and eczema than children who grow up in the urban lifestyle. Well, I immediately recognized that this article is going to be a big help in answering some of the questions swirling around allergy in children. Anybody who's practiced medicine for the last 30 years, like I have, has noticed a big increase in the amount of asthma, eczema, and all allergic disease among children. And the whys of this have really been a hot issue in medicine. It's one of the more important questions facing researchers. So when this article came out, I thought, whoa, this is a great opportunity to discuss the whole issue of allergy in children. So let's go ahead and get started with our discussion today of allergy. I'm going to review some of the research that I have found interesting and give you the Doc Smo view of the allergy epidemic of the 20th and 21st centuries in the Western world. Well, let's start this discussion with a conversation about what our immune system does to help keep us alive. Somehow, our immune system knows what is us and what is foreign. And our immune system has to be able to sort out of the foreign things what's an important invader and what should simply be ignored. Reacting to the right things is really important function of our immune system, and particularly for children, because they get so much more infectious disease than older people do. And that infectious disease poses a much bigger threat to survival for children. Over the millennia of time, children have been essentially bred to have really good, strong immune systems when it comes to infectious disease. Now, fast forward to the Western world, to modern times, when immunizations are around to help protect us, when children have clean water and clean food, their air is clean, there are very, very few infectious disease threats to their survival, nothing like the past. Today, most children grow up in a very clean world, very different from just a few generations back. Now, Here's the important take-home point. Just because the germs are mostly gone doesn't mean that children's immune systems, that their little bodies, have forgotten what to do when they perceive a threat. And maybe, just maybe, kids' immune systems today are simply reacting to the wrong things. They're not ignoring what they should ignore. Maybe their immune systems are just simply bored. And possibly what we call allergy today is just inappropriate immune responses to things that children should be tolerant of. Now let me repeat that. What we call allergy today may be, this is a theory, but it may be inappropriate immune responses to things that children should be tolerant of. And these immune responses that just a few hundred years ago were so critical to a child's survival, these immune responses are now targeting nonsense like peanuts and grass pollen and house dust mites, things that a few hundred years ago children's immune system would just simply ignore. With that discussion as a background, let's look at allergic disease in general. Now recall, there are four main types of allergy. There's food allergy. There's asthma, which is allergy in your bronchioles. There's eczema, which is a chronic allergy of the skin. And there's allergic rhinitis, what people commonly refer to as hay fever. Now, researchers all over the world have noticed, particularly in the westernized nations, that there's way more allergy now than there was 50 years ago. It's probably doubled or tripled, at least. But I was taught in medical school that you either inherited the allergy gene or you didn't. The people who had allergies were just the poor, unfortunate souls who had that allergy gene. But that doesn't jive with what we're seeing today, because gene frequencies don't change radically over a short period of time. So what's up? What's with the change? Well, here are a few recent research studies that might shed some light on this question of why allergies are increasing, particularly in the Western world. Let's do a little history lesson. Let's go back in time a few decades when the Berlin Wall in Germany was built. Now, on one side were Germans living the Western lifestyle. That's West Germany. It was modern, it was wealthy relative to the rest of the world, it was clean. People lived with artificial ventilation, both heat and cold, and all the other stuff that we enjoy today. On the east side of the Berlin Wall, however, the communist side, were Germans. They were cousins and uncles and aunts of the people in the West. They were very closely related genetically, but they were living the lifestyle that existed in the 19th century. Dirty, industrial, primitive heating systems such as burning coal or wood, dirty air, dirty water, and fairly ubiquitous poverty. Now fast forward to 1989. The wall comes down. Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down. Ronald Reagan's famous words to the Soviet leader. Well, the people on both sides did just that. They tore that wall down. So this was the perfect natural experiment to look at the effect of environment on people. So lots of studies have been done in the last 20 years looking at the same genetic population, all Germans, East and West, living on opposite sides of that wall, but with two totally different environments. And what do you think the researchers found? Well, it was fairly consistent what they found. They found the rates of allergic disease, that is asthma, hay fever, eczema, and food allergies, much higher on the clean side of the wall rather than the dirty side. That is the exact opposite of what you would have expected. Maybe, just maybe, the people on the west side of the wall, the West Germans, were just too clean. Let's get back to that New England Journal article this week. Children who were exposed to barns at an early age, that is, grew up on farms, had a much lower incidence of both asthma and eczema when compared with children who grew up in urban settings. What's going on in a barn? Dirt, animal waste, a lot of pollen, a lot of dust, especially grass pollen. It seems like being exposed to dirt and germs, especially at a young age, seems to be protective when it comes to allergies. The opposite of what you expect. Again, maybe those city kids are too clean. These observations and many, many others have led to what is called the hygiene hypothesis. A child's immune system, their responses to the world, and their tolerance of the world are altered negatively by lack of exposure to dirt and germs early in life. That's the hygiene hypothesis. So let me repeat it. A child's immune responses and tolerance to the world are altered negatively by a lack of exposure to dirt and germs early in life. Could it be that Western children are growing up in a world that's too clean, and this is causing the rather precipitous rise in allergic disease seen especially in the past 50 years? Maybe we are creating the allergy problem by staying inside with artificial heat and cold, by eating super clean food and water, by sleeping on clean artificial bedding, constantly scrubbing dirt off as fast as it touches our children, by obsessing about clean hands, by not living with animals and changing the natural environment around us, the trees and the grasses, to what we want rather than what nature intended to be around us. It makes sense to me that if allergy shots can alter an immune response and make us tolerant of things around us, so could natural exposure. Well, the answers are not in yet, but we are beginning to get an understanding of the complexity of our immune systems. Stay tuned. Ooh, wait a second. I see a question coming in from Germany, of all places.
Doc Small, this is your friend Herr Dieter from Germany. I have a little question. If I'm hearing you right, you are saying that my little Wiener Schnitzels are too clean and that they need more time getting exposed to microbes, especially the kind found outside. Is that right?
You got it, Herr Dieter. Lot less allergic disease in those children who slop them pigs, shuck some corn, and spend time on the old farm. The same is probably true for any child who spends a lot of time outdoors.
Well, how do the experts feel about Hunde und Katzen im Haus? Oh, I'm sorry, my German is peeking out. How do experts feel about dogs and cats in the house? Do they help or hurt allergic children?
Good question. From my reading, Herr Dieter, the answer is actually both. Exposure to furry creatures like dogs and cats in the house in the first year of life seems to diminish a child's chance of developing asthma. On the other hand, exposure to animals such as dogs and cats in older, already allergic children often makes their allergic symptoms much worse. I'm sorry I can't be clear on answering your question, but that's the best answer I could find.
Is the same thing true for food allergy? I thought early exposure was bad. Is there a way to keep my little schnitzels from being allergic to certain food?
Well, that's an entirely different subject for another PEDcast, but let's just say that avoiding early exposure to very allergenic foods has been disappointing in reducing the incidence of severe food allergy. The truth is, we just don't know what the best age to introduce allergenic foods is, but we do know that breastfeeding, especially early, does reduce eczema and possibly other allergic diseases. So let's summarize what we've talked about today. The overall theme here is that early experiences change the way a child's immune system develops. New research indicates that early exposure to a large variety of germs and a high quantity of germs seem to lessen the chance that a child will become an allergic child if that exposure is done very early. Growing up in an environment that is too clean may harm a child's health. So here are some steps that parents can take that might help reduce the chance that their child has allergies. Breastfeeding as long as possible. And getting your children outside as often as you can. That seems to be important. And turn off that AC and heat whenever you can. And open up those darn windows. And hand hygiene, well, that's really important when children are in crowded conditions like school or church, especially in the colder weather. It does work. It does prevent them from getting common viral infections. But super squeaky clean hands are not necessary when you take your kids to the park or when they're playing outdoors. If a little dirt gets on Johnny, it's okay. Calm down. It'll be all right. Dirt from the outside does not make us sick very often. And when it comes to allergy and pets, those furry pets in the house do seem to be harmful to already allergic older children. But they may, and I emphasize, may actually be of benefit to a very young, non-allergic child. That's children under a year of age. So as it turns out, allergies are probably similar to other complex biologic phenomena. They're a mixture of interaction between genes and environment. You know, back to that old nature-nurture question. Again. Well, I hope you enjoyed that discussion today and learned something. I love to get your comments, and you can do that on iTunes or my Facebook page or even through my website. While you're at it, invite your friends to subscribe. They might enjoy the DocsMo experience. And if you are a medical professional and would like to send a comment, I will make sure that they get highlighted on my blog. The references to today's talk can be found in my SMO notes on my website. This is Dr. Paul Smolin broadcasting from Studio 1E in the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina, hoping your children get just the right amount of dirt on their toes and pollen in their nose. Until next time. This podcast would not be possible without the help of the following contributors: Ann Gesner for her editing assistance, Seth Jaffe for providing inspiration and guidance, Dr. David Jaffe for allowing us to use his voice for the introductory voiceover, Dr. Robert Beezer for composing this fantastic bumper music, which is performed by two phenomenally talented young musicians, Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof. Sarah the Wizard Smolin and Ben Smolin for their production assistance, and special thanks to the talented Laura Nell Parnell for providing her international vocal renditions. Thanks, guys.